Welcome to Virginia On Demand, a weekday podcast from Radio IQ's newsroom featuring the top stories from around the Commonwealth. I'm Nicholas Yee, sitting in for Jeff Bossert. It's Thursday, May 14th. The Supreme Court of Virginia's ruling in the redistricting dispute last week turned on the technical process by which Virginia can amend its constitution. Some political analysts see ghosts of Virginia's racist past in the ruling and praise of it. Brad Kuttner has this report.
This is Virginia, and this is the Virginia way.
That's House Minority Leader Terry Kilgore praising the Supreme Court of Virginia for siding with Republicans and their challenge to Democrats' effort to redraw congressional lines. The phrase the Virginia way is sometimes used to describe the collegial deliberative nature of the General Assembly, but it dates back to the Jim Crow era. A Richmond News Leader editorial from 1926 described it as such, quote, "The separation of the races is not to be assured by sweeping statutes, but by sound public sentiment." The Virginia Way was later enshrined into law during massive resistance, the state's move to avoid integration of schools in the 1950s by closing them altogether. And one of massive resistance's allies was then Culpeper delegate French Slaughter Jr. Slaughter was also quoted in Justice Arthur Kelsey's opinion invalidating the process used by Democrats. Quote, "The reasoning behind this," Delegate Slaughter stated, "is the Constitution should not be changed lightly." The references didn't surprise Virginia State University political science professor Wes Bellamy, who noted black voters helped push the yes vote to a 3-point win.
"Policy has often been used to prohibit black and minority progression within the Commonwealth of Virginia."
But Democratic Senate Majority Leader Scott Surville pushed back on any inferred connections to the state's darker past.
"Arthur Kelsey is a very good writer. He has a very interesting perspective, but he's also very conservative."
Virginia Democrats have since asked the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene in the redistricting case. A Republican response is due Thursday. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Governor Abigail Spanberger is expected to veto a bill that would have empowered public and certain other employees to collectively bargain. Advocates argue the bill would lead to fair wages, benefits, and better working conditions. Critics feared it could negatively impact local budgets at a time when they're already strained. The veto plan was confirmed by the bill's patron, Senate Majority Leader Scott Surwell. Spanberger also told the Fairfax area senator she'll veto another bill expanding access to class action lawsuits in state courts. Requests for additional comment were not returned by the governor's office. Spanberger has until May 23rd to act on a handful of other bills, including a legal cannabis market in the Commonwealth. Otherwise, they go into effect without her signature. Virginia's free clinics often provide medical and dental services to people who don't speak English. Some Virginia Tech engineering students saw that the wait for transition services caused stress and confusion for both medical professionals and patients.
"That could be easily solved if you just had like a push of a button and it translates right away in real time."
So they made one, and now it's being used at a clinic location in Roanoke. Mason Adams explains how it works in just a few minutes. The redistricting referendum amendment is not the only proposed change to the state constitution facing a challenge in court. As Michael Pope tells us, the proposed amendment protecting abortion rights also faces lawsuits.
Virginia law currently requires parental consent for minors seeking abortions. But the language in a proposed constitutional amendment guarantees abortion rights to every individual, prompting a lawsuit from attorneys at the Founding Freedoms Law Center, charging that the ballot language is misleading because they say it would eliminate parental consent. The amendment was introduced by House Majority Leader Charnel Herring of Alexandria.
"It's not unusual. People make arguments and we'll see what the court says."
"Well, so they were saying that the ballot language is misleading, specifically on the issue of the..."
In case you couldn't hear it there, Herring said, "I disagree," as she walked away. Senator Jennifer Boysko was willing to say a little more. Boysko is a Democrat from Herndon who introduced the amendment in the Senate.
"The constitutional amendment is silent on the issue of parental notification."
Olivia Gans Turner at the Virginia Society for Human Life disagrees with that characterization.
"Well, it's not silent in the sense that it means that anyone, adult or minor, would be able to have access to abortions.
Voters will consider the proposed constitutional amendment on abortion rights in November unless the legal challenges are successful. Michael Pope.
Both of Virginia's Democratic senators voted against confirmation for Kevin Varsh to lead the U.S. Federal Reserve. In a statement, Mark Warner says he voted no, not as judgment of Warsh's experience, but, quote, because I have serious concerns about whether he will be able to fully remain independent in the face of political pressure from the White House. Warsh, an economist and former central bank governor, was confirmed Wednesday on a 54-45 vote. More than 30% of Virginia is in a maternal health desert, according to the March of Dimes. This means women have to travel long distances for prenatal appointments and to give birth. A new program is helping women in Southwest Virginia get to prenatal and postpartum appointments, as Roxy Todd reports.
At least five obstetric units have closed in Virginia over the past decade, and more are at risk of closing. A study last year by the Virginia Department of Health found in areas without a dedicated birth and delivery unit, many women travel long distances to give birth, often out of state.
We're not able to get enough physicians in. We're not able to have enough physicians stay. And so we're sharing practitioners across multiple counties.
Megan Parks is the executive director for United Way of Southwest Virginia. Last year, they launched a program called Flourish to help transport expectant mothers in Southwest Virginia to prenatal appointments.
We've also received assistance requests to actually be picked up from the hospital after they've given birth because they didn't have a ride to get home.
They help women buy car seats, diapers, and maternity clothes. This year, they expanded the program into the New River Valley. United Way will also provide scholarships for people to become doulas who are allowed by Virginia law to be reimbursed by Medicaid. Southwest Virginia is in need of more doulas, says Parks. Virginia lawmakers passed several bills this year focused on improving access to maternal health care in the Commonwealth. I'm Roxy Todd.
Roanoke's Board of Zoning Appeals voted unanimously yesterday to deny a homeless services provider appeal of two zoning violations. The least of these ministry was cited in late February for its warming buses, outdoor lockers, and portable toilet at its site in downtown Roanoke. 21 people spoke during the public hearing, including Amber West, an unhoused woman who said her locker at T-Lot has been crucial for keeping her identification and documents in a safe place and reminders of her family.
And I like to keep them, kind of gives you a little bit of hope. You know, sometimes your locker gives you a little bit of help.
But neighbors and nearby business owners argue the facility attracts more unhoused people that have disrupted their lives and business ventures. Zoning board member Robert Logan says the board ultimately had to vote on a narrow question and that the city should work with T-Lot to find a better solution.
Whether we decide that lockers and privy are outdoor storage items or not, it's not going to fix the problems.
T-Lot founder Don Sandoval said the ministry will have to evaluate its options before deciding what to do next. Virginia has been awarded $2 million in federal grant money to document historic resources in areas of central and southwest Virginia that were struck by Hurricane Helene. The funding from the National Park Service will go towards a large-scale architectural and archaeological survey of the nearly 40 localities impacted by the 2024 storm. That information will assist with planning for future disasters. In addition, the money will support the National Register of Historic Places nomination for at least one historic district in the region. Virginia received similar funding from the National Park Service in 2018 after Hurricanes Michael and Florence, and another grant after Superstorm Sandy in 2012. With summer right around the corner, officials at Smith Mountain Lake say visitors planning to enjoy the lake in the near future should take extra precautions due to lower than normal water levels. That can expose hazards that are typically under the water, including rocks and other debris. The Smith Mountain Lake Association says boaters and jet skiers should slow down and stay in marked channels, and swimmers should avoid diving in areas where they aren't certain of the water depth. Three Virginia Tech students have designed a tool to help English-speaking dentists communicate better with Spanish-speaking patients. Mason Adams has more in today's feature.
In a booth at Roanoke's Bradley Free Clinic, dentist Megan Milburn has access to the tools of the trade. Tweezers, a probe, a mouth mirror, and a computer screen with a list of commonly used phrases to communicate with patients. She touches a box with one of the phrases, which triggers a Spanish translation. This is a new tool the Free Clinic's dental wing is using to communicate with Spanish-speaking patients.
So those we can just kind of have open for the whole appointment. And for cleanings, it goes over their periodontal status. For patients with gingivitis, with periodontal disease, bone loss, and then it talks about after they get a cleaning, what to do.
The translation page was developed by a biodesign team of three Virginia Tech engineering students. They're part of a partnership between Tech and Carilion Clinic that pairs students with people with a more clinical background. They spent the first part of the project observing at Roanoke Memorial Hospital, rural clinics in Franklin and Rockbridge counties, and the Bradley Free Clinic. They watched and looked for ways to make a difference. Maruk Siddiqui is one of the team members.
That's what we observed, that language barrier was one of the major concern, major problem, both for patients, physicians, not being able to communicate at all and just being so stressed about that really just felt very strongly to all of us that this is something that we want to work on and take forward and do something for the clinic and for the community.
Another team member, Reedy Barua, elaborates.
During one of the dentist appointments, one of the dental hygienists, she had to call someone and there was a long wait time. And that's very crucial to explain the procedure and what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
However, she needed to call back again and again for some of like small translations. Now, that could be easily solved if you just had like a push of a button and it translates right away in real time.
Dentist Megan Milburn says the new tool helps procedures go a lot smoother.
Like it has a lot of phrases that we use over and over again for the same kind of appointment.
The benefits extend beyond the appointment too. Patients receive Spanish language instruction on what to do next and how to maintain their teeth as part of preventative care. If they have questions, they can use a QR code to take them to the translation site. And clinic officials see room to build on this initial model.
What we see with the design of this project is that it can go so much further.
Janine Underwood is the Bradley Free Clinic's executive director.
We have always struggled with trying to do better in communicating with our patients and educating our patients. We feel like Bradley Free Clinic really reflects the community, and this program will be able to reach out to patients where English is a second language mm-hmm. or any of our patients.
The Virginia Tech students have wrapped up their work and graduate this weekend, but they're hoping future cohorts of this biodesign team will build on their work by adding additional languages or expanding it to be used by the clinic's medical staff too. In Roanoke, I'm Mason Adams.
And a note of disclosure, Radio IQ is a service of Virginia Tech. Weather-wise, a mix of sun and clouds across the listening area today. Breezy, especially for those along the Blue Ridge. Cooler than where we've been lately, highs in the mid-50s to around 70 for Danville and Richmond. This evening, mostly clear overhead as winds die down. Lows in the upper 30s to upper 40s across the region. That's a wrap for Virginia On Demand for Thursday, May 14th. A reminder to subscribe to the podcast and do tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ News, I'm Nicholas Yee. Thank you so much for listening.